We're teaching through the Gospel of John. I laid it down for a bit and then come back and picked it up again. So I'm going to try to work through this. The Gospel of John's a great book. I think you'll enjoy it. I've done it years back, but always something new. Always something new. You can't exhaust the Scriptures. I mean, you can see something in it now and you'll see something in it later. I mean, there's just so much you can learn by a good studying of the Scriptures. So, in the Gospel of John chapter 7, I don't know how far I'm going to go with this, but let me go ahead and read a little bit and we'll have a word of prayer. We'll read chapter 7 and 1 through 13 for right now. I'll probably go farther than that, though. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, in the northern part of Israel. A lot of Gentiles also lived in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because that's Judea is what it's talking about. That's another province there, because the Jews sought to kill him. Isn't that sad? It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto him, my time is not yet come. But your time is already ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to the feast. I go not up unto the feast, for my time is not full come. Now this feast here is the Feast of Tabernacles. Go ye up to the feast. I go not up unto the feast, for my time is not yet come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we have the people that's here. And we pray that you would grant them a blessing this evening as we have sang praises to you, Lord, and prayed. But as we exposit or teach the Scriptures. Lord, we're thankful for this room that we're in this evening. It's warm, and we're thankful that for the people that's here. And Father, we pray that you continue to save souls and add souls to this our assembly. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you'd continue to add people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm just going to give this a title. That way I can go farther if I need to go. Jesus at the Tabernacles. And what this is the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus at Tabernacles. Just call it that. Jesus at Tabernacles, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I haven't done this for years, but I'm going to give you a little something. In the Old Testament, there were seven feast days that the children of Israel observed. And years back, I'd done a study on all of them, and I'm going to do a study on all of them again, just not now. And there was a total of seven feast days that they observed. Three main ones, but seven total that kind of went with the other days. I'll explain that when we get to it. The first one was the Feast of Passover. That happened in the spring. That was in the springtime. And with Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That also went with it. And then the Feast of First Fruits. That was the third. The third Jewish feast day. Number four was the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost. Then there was the Feast of Trumpets. What did they do at the Feast of Trumpets? That's Jewish New Year. They would, instead of putting off firecrackers, they blew trumpets. That's what was called the Feast of Trumpets. The Great Day of Atonement, I've taught you about that before. That's when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and made the atonement for the sins of Israel for that year. That's called the great day of what? Atonement. And he took a bull and a goat into the Holy of Holies, one for the priest and one for Israel. And that made an atonement for their sin for that year. Guess what they did the next year? They did it again. And they did it again. Now, why ain't we doing it today? Jesus fulfilled the Day of Atonement. He fulfilled. That's why you don't offer sacrifices anymore. They offered a lamb every morning and evening in Israel, but we don't offer lambs anymore. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He offered him. All of these pictures and types pointed to Jesus. They all mentioned Jesus in some way. So Jesus fulfilled all of these things. Now the three major ones, let me give you, one was, the first one was Passover. That was in the spring. Now, Jesus died at Passover, too, by the way. So Passover was the first one. It was in the spring. The Feast of Pentecost was the second one. This is the main one. You've heard of the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They were observing the Feast of Pentecost. So that was the second main one. And then the third one was the Feast of Tabernacles. That's kind of like our Thanksgiving. But those were the three main ones. The reason why I call it that, that required the Jews to travel to Jerusalem to observe these. You was required to go to Jerusalem on those three. Passover, and also the Feast of Tabernacles, and also the Feast of Pentecost, those three. They had to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So when you went to Jerusalem, it was loaded with people. You remember whenever Jesus was crucified, you'll remember that Jerusalem was filled with what? People. Why? It was Passover. Jesus died at Passover. So there was a multitude of people in Jerusalem at that particular time. So those were the three main ones. And that required all the Jews to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. I worked for L.A. Joe's for a while. They took over Hex, and it was owned by the Nakash brothers, and they were Jews. And I asked one of the men up work, or one of the officials up work, I said, well, where are they at? And they said, they went to Israel. Why? They were celebrating the Passover. So they made a pilgrimage all the way back over there. Of course, they had the money to do that, didn't they? And that's what they did. So they went over there and observed the feast there. So that's what this is speaking of. The one we're speaking of tonight, though, is Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a whole lot like Thanksgiving. And they would observe this feast whenever they were in the land. And they would remember. This was also called the Feast of Booths, B-O-T-H-S. You know what a booth is? You know what a booth is? It's just like a little shack that they made. Because when the children of Israel went across in the book of Exodus, it says that they lived in booths. They made these little huts, and they would use them for shelter. So that's what they did here. They would celebrate that at the Feast of Tabernacles. And what they did all over, Larry, all over Jerusalem, you'd have these little tent-looking things, which is what their forefathers lived in when they came across the wilderness journey. And that's what they did. So they offered, that's what they did. So I thought that was pretty cool when you think about it. Like living in a tent almost, but you would see these little booths that they constructed, and it would be all over Jerusalem, and they would remember their forefathers when they went across, and they lived in booths, and now they would rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because now they're in their land. Oh, God's people see it. That's why they did it. That's why it was a celebration. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a whole lot like Thanksgiving. That's what they mainly did, is they would offer thanks to the Lord for the fine land that they were given by the Lord and kept by the Lord. Okay, everybody got that? So that's the Jesus, that's why we called it Jesus at Tabernacles. All right. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, and he would not walk in jewelry, which is Judea. He didn't walk in Judea. Why? Why wouldn't he walk in Judea? What's it say? They wanted to kill him. Now you think about that. The greatest man that ever walked this, the kindest and the greatest man, done so many miracles that you couldn't, I mean, people couldn't even imagine the miracles that he done. But they sought to do what? Wanted to kill him. That's a shame, isn't it? Here he was, come from heaven, bred from heaven, and they sought to kill him. That's what they wanted to do. Why was that? Jealousy? Mainly it was jealousy. They wanted him out of the picture, especially the Pharisees. The religious leaders of Jesus' day hated Jesus. He would put them in their place whenever they did. No one knew the scriptures like the one that wrote the scriptures. And buddy, he could tie them up in a knot, and he was powerful, and he did great miracle. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. So, now verse 2 tells you the time frame that we're in. This is the fall time of the year. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's the one I was just telling you about, and that's what they would do during that time, is they would remember their pilgrimage in the wilderness, and now they're in the land, and all over Jerusalem they built those little booths, those little huts. It's also called the Feast of Booths, and they would live in them and remember their wilderness journey and rejoice in the Lord for him bringing them to their promised land. All God's people said. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, one of these days, I'm going to go back and teach these again. I did that few years. I did it a lot at one time, and I've noticed it's been a while. But there's, let me give you the feast days again. There's seven of them. Passover, unleavened bread. These all went together. The Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Trumpets, the Great Day of Atonement. The Great Day of Atonement, and then the last one was the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's the one that's kind of similar to what we're doing now, Thanksgiving. Very similar to Thanksgiving. So you pay attention, for a while. Eventually, I'm going to cover those seven feast days. Now, and you'll enjoy it, boy. It's a pretty picture when you bring out those pictures of all those different feast days. Okay, so he tells us our time frame. So we're in the fall of the year. Feast of Tabernacles is in the fall. That's why I said it's kind of like Thanksgiving, and they would praise the Lord for the harvest that they had. All these three that I gave you, the three main ones, all went by the different harvests, spring, summer, and fall, okay? All right, let's look at verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go to Judea, that the disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. They're encouraging him to get out and so people could see him openly in his miracles and things. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now notice what it says in verse 5. Now who is actually saying this right here is his brethren. You see it in verse 5? Did you know Jesus had brothers? How many knew Jesus had brothers? He had brothers. He did. And it says here that his brothers didn't believe in him either at this particular time. For neither did his brethren believe in him. His brothers' names was James, Joseph, and then the other one was Jude and Simon. He had four brothers and had sisters also. Did y'all realize that also? Had sisters also. Now, James, most think, ended up being the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. Okay, and the other one you'd probably know of would be Jude. That's who wrote the book of Jude. So just to give you some information with regard to that. Back verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart, go into Judea, that the disciples may, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Now notice, he called God's people what here? I like that wording. A disciple means a follower. It also means a learner. And that's what you're supposed to be. After that, you're born again. You become a, when you're saved, you become a disciple. That means you are a follower of Jesus Christ. We follow him. Now, of course, the disciples, the 12 disciples, they ran with Jesus. They followed Jesus and they were made apostles. Of course, one of them was a fake, wasn't he? Judas was a fake. He wasn't true. Later on, he'd say, I chose you 12, and one of you is a demon. He was a lost man. Did Jesus know it? Well, of course he knew it. On one occasion, Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you's a demon. So there's just another example of how Jesus knows what people are. Beloved, I've told you this before. I want to be real. I don't want to be real just in public. I want to be real in secret too. And I've said this a lot of times over the years. What you are in secret is what you are. Many times what you are in public is what you like to pretend to be. And that's not a good thing. You want to be real. That's how I want to be. I want to be the same in secret as I am in this pulpit. And if somebody's not, then that's a hypocrite. An actor. You know what a hypocrite was? It was an actor. Someone that would put on a part and act out a part, but they weren't real. They were fakes. Okay? So, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And this is where his brother says, for neither did the brethren believe in him. Isn't that sad? Now, later on, they did. You go back to the book, like I said, back to the book of Acts 1 and 2. His brethren was there in the church of Jerusalem. So I imagine they were saved later. I imagine they were saved later. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. My time is not yet come. Now Jesus knew his time. Can you imagine living, you know, 33 years of age? Can you imagine knowing exactly what time you was going to go through what you know what Jesus went through? He knew his time. Now, do we know our time? No. I'm glad I don't. I worry myself to death all the time, wouldn't you? I worry myself to death. Oh, I could die. You know, we don't know when we're going to die. God has allotted our time. And I don't know. I might die tomorrow. You might die tomorrow. But you know, Jesus knew exactly. When he came to earth, he knew exactly when he was going to die and how he was going to die. And actually where he was going to die. He knew all of that. I think Jesus is the most courageous man that ever walked this earth. Nobody more courageous than him. Let's read on. So there is no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to know, to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come. There we go again. My time is not yet come. Jesus knew his time. Jesus knew his time. He knew exactly how he would die. He knew exactly where he would die. He knew it. And just walked right towards it anyway. You think how much courage that would take. You think what he went through. But why did he do such a thing for us? He did that for us. I couldn't go to heaven without the sacrificial death of Jesus. I had to have a substitute. And it just couldn't be anybody. It had to be the sacrifice of one that was absolutely perfect. And only Jesus could do that. So he came and he laid his life down. But he did that for us. He did that for his sheep. He did that for his people. That's why he did it. I think about that song that we used to sing here. Why did he love me so? I don't know. There's nothing about me merited any such a sacrifice as that, but that's what he did. That's how much he loved us. So he said, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, he's telling them, you could die at any time. Always ready. People will need to always be what? Ready. Be a horrible life to die without Jesus. Be a horrible life to die without eternal life. Lost men abide under a death sentence all their days, just waiting for the sentence. You've done been found guilty is what I'm trying to say. You've already been found guilty. You're just waiting for the sentence to be carried out. Just waiting for the sentence to be carried out. Well, when you trust Christ as your Savior, there's no condemnation for you. Let's turn to Romans 8. Oh, my, I ain't getting nowhere. Romans chapter 8. I love the text, is for one thing. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the verse 1. There is, therefore now, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation is to be condemned. There's no condemnation. I once was under condemnation. You know when you're a lost person? Lonnie, you was under condemnation. You was living under it. Larry, so was you. We were living under a death sentence, ready for it to be carried out. But, chapter 8, verse 1 again, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? But if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you because Jesus paid your condemnation on the cross. There's nothing left for you to pay, which is why we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Let's go back to our text now. So, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come. But I want you to notice the wording of verse 6. But your time is alway ready. That means you could go at any time. You don't know when it is. Did Jesus know his time? Yeah, he did. He knew his time. Went to Jerusalem anyhow. Allowed himself to be arrested anyhow. That's why I always said I think the most courageous man that ever walked this planet was Jesus. I don't think there's anybody braver than Jesus. People don't give Jesus the due with regard to bravery. Who was the most bravest man that ever walked this planet? It was Jesus. Nobody braver than him. Man, he just walked in Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen. Fearless. If there ever was a man that was fearless, it was Jesus, knowing exactly what he was going to go through. We always talk about the physical part of it. But you also got to remember, when Jesus died on Calvary, the Father dropped all his wrath down upon his own Son. The Bible says we are saved from wrath through him. And God provided his own darling Son to pay the debt that we could not pay ourselves. Glorious thing. I mean, it's hard to imagine that old song that you used to sing, why did he love me? So, I don't know why, but that's what he did. And I ain't worth that either. Y'all think y'all's worth that? I don't think I'm worth that. None of us all put together is worth that, but that's what he did. We don't know when our time is. You see it in verse 6? Your time is always ready. So we could go out anytime. I'm ready to go. You ready to go? Either way, I'm ready to go. I'm going to serve him till he comes, or I'm going to serve him till I die, but I'm going to serve him. It's the greatest joy of my life is serving Jesus. Verse 7. It says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. If people hate Jesus, well, the Pharisees did. The religious leaders did. We talked about that already. They despised him. False religion today despises him. False religion today despises him. There's only one religion, true religion, where salvation is found. There's not all kinds of different... That aggravates me to death when somebody tells me that. Well, we got the Muslims and we got the Hindus and the Hedus or whatever they are. You got all of these different kinds. But there's only one way. Do y'all agree? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. That's why the church in the New Testament was evangelistic and sent out missionaries. Because there's only one way. Only one. There isn't a different gospel for each nation. There's one gospel, one true one, only one. One way, one road, one Savior, and one gospel. There's not a bunch of other ones. And that's what it aggravates me when folks think that way. That's not a good way to think. People's got mad at me over that before. But the scripture says, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. That's one way. And it's also called a narrow. It's also called a narrow way. And that way is all who? All Jesus. That's why it's called a narrow way. And the scripture says, few, in comparison to the ones that's on the broad road, few, let me say it one more time, few there be that find it. All God's people say it. All right, let's read on. Wow. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, and the works thereof are what? They're evil. The world is filled with evildoers, isn't it? Now, one of these days we'll go to a place, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It'll be perfect. It's hard for me to sit back and imagine some of these things, but you think about it. Be a new heaven and a new earth, new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That means everybody will be righteous there. We'll be like, the scripture says when we see him, What does it say? When we see him, we will be like him. Can you imagine being like Jesus? We will be. And I think the idea will be perfect. We won't have no evil thoughts. You heathens have evil thoughts? We all have evil thoughts. Unless you're lying. We all have evil thoughts. We always fight this. Hey, we always fight this flesh. I fought my flesh ever since I've been saved. I fight my flesh. You fight yours? You fight yours? You know what's good about that? It's not that we're sinless. It's that we fight. All God's people say it. We're not sinless, but we fight. We fight. Go ye up to the feast. Go ye up to the, he said, go ye up unto this feast. What feast was this? You remember what I told you? Tabernacles. Remember when that happened? In the fall. Sort of like our Thanksgiving. It was one of the most popular feasts. It was a very popular feast. I go not up unto the feast, for my time is not yet come. My time, just what Jesus said, my time is not yet come. Did Jesus know his time? Yeah. Do you know yours? No. No, you don't. That's why you always have to be what? You always have to be ready. And another thing, we don't know when he's going to come, but we also want to be about his business till he comes. We want to be about his business till he comes. After you were born again, you became a what? A disciple. What disciples do? They're followers. A disciple was a follower. They followed Jesus and they learned after him. That's what we are. We're disciples. We seek to be learners so that we can take what we learn and share it with those in our family, those that are our friends, those that are our neighbors, whoever Lord puts us in contact with. We want to be learners so that we can share it with other people. Man, I don't want anybody to come say, hey, preacher, come on with me and tell this man how I believe. I want you to know what you believe. And I want you to know where it's at, scripture and verse, so that you can stand for it, but also so you can teach your children and your grandchildren about the things of the Lord, and they need to hear it from Papa. And they need to hear it from Mama. They need to hear it from you. If you know Jesus, you should be able to tell people about him and instruct him in the things of the Lord. Oh, God's people say it. All right, let me almost get done here. Verse 9. Go ye up to the feast, this is verse 8, and I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Now let me get let me go to 13. Is that all right? Billy Wick, you care if I go to 13? All right. Let's look at verse 10 now. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also unto the feast. But notice what it says. He didn't go openly. He didn't go openly. But as it were in secret. He didn't want to get mobbed, I guess. But he kind of went in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, that's the fall. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said he was a good man. Some said he was a good man. Others says no, but he deceiveth the people. You see how it divided? See how divided the people of Jerusalem was? Was Jesus a good man? Whew, greatest man that ever walked in Israel. He was the greatest man that ever walked this earth. But you see how people were divided on him back in this day? People were divided on Jesus. Is people still divided on Jesus today? Still, it is. He's the only Savior there is. Was Jesus a good man? Of course he was a good man. He's perfect, without sin. But there was others that said that all he was a deceiver. Hey, can you imagine calling the King of Kings a deceiver? That's what they called him. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him. Why didn't they speak openly? Afraid of the Jews. That's the unbelieving Jews. They ruled the roost there in Jerusalem. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and that tribe. Did Jesus have nothing but trouble with them? If you read the Gospels before, you'll see that the leading troubles he had was against the religious crowd at the temple. The religious crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were all religious men, but yet they always caused Jesus a lot of problems. But they were unbelieving Jews. Religious, but what? Religious, but lost. Salvation is only in one person. One. Not all these different roads that you hear about all the time. One. One way. And that's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. All right, next week, look at verse 14, down through.